Chapter 6. The next day was miserably gray and humid with thunderstorms rolling through off and on all day. It matched my mood perfectly, and I found myself wishing the sun wouldn't show at all. Dale had to go into town for some banquet, so he offered to drive me to my training session. I stared out the window and thought about my phone call with Mason the night before. He just called to check on me, but it was the first time we'd really talked since the breakup. I think I'd almost forgotten how badly he'd broken me, until I heard his voice saying my name the way he used to, and then saying Shay's in the exact same way. It killed me to hear him talk about her, even though I knew in his head he was doing what he thought was right. He was showing me sympathy and mercy, but I didn't want it. Training with Rhodes was thickening my skin and numbing my mind. I liked numb. Numb didn't hurt. I sighed, resting my forehead against the passenger side of Dale's Corvette. It was raining, so I had no idea why he chose that car in the first place. It's not like he could put the top down. But then again, that was Dale. He liked to show off his toys.
"I heard you on the phone last night," he said, stirring me from my thoughts.
I glanced at him and he was staring at me carefully. I just sighed and put my head back on the window.
"Was it Mason?"
"Yep." He paused, gripping the steering wheel a little harder.
"And?"
"And he talked to me about his new girlfriend." I swung back to look at him, hoping my eyes would convey that I didn't want to talk about it. The truth was that it stung, and I realized on the phone with him that I wanted him back even more than I had realized. I didn't want to hear him talk about Shay because I wanted to be the only girl in his world. Dale frowned, but nodded.
"How's training going?"
he asked, changing the subject. My stomach did a small flip when I thought about Rhodes and the night before. The dinner paired with Mason calling had made for an interesting night. "It's good," I said, smiling. He appraised me carefully.
"I can see a difference already, you know," he said. "I know it's just been a little over a week, but you can tell, in the way you carry yourself."
"What do you mean?" Dale grinned, shaking his head.
"I don't know. I can't really explain it."
He glanced over at me again.
"You've always been beautiful, Natalie, but the confidence you're gaining with the training takes you to another level."
I smiled, trying to take the compliment but not really feeling up to the challenge. My self-esteem was low, and though Dale always seemed to see the best in me, I just couldn't see it in myself. Adjusting the messy bun on my head, I smirked. "Let's just hope taking it to another level doesn't mean another level up on the treadmill, because I don't think I can handle that." He laughed as we pulled into the parking lot of the club. Rhodes was hanging outside beneath the overhang, sheltering himself from the rain. His arms were crossed and he was leaning against the brick, his signature pose. I swallowed at the sight of him and unclicked my seatbelt, my eyes still on his.
"Come here,"
Dale said as he threw the car in park. He pulled me in for a long hug, squeezing me tight, and when he pulled back, he leveled his eyes with mine.
"You're an amazing girl, Natalie. Don't ever forget that. You can do anything you want to do. Talking to Mason hurts right now, but one day you're going to wake up and not even care about what he's saying or doing because you'll have moved on from him."
"Isn't it Mom's idea to get me back together with him?" He waved his hand at me.
"Your mom and I don't agree on everything."
Grinning, I leaned over the console and grabbed my gym bag from the tiny back seat. "Thanks for the dad advice, Dale."
"Always."
"Don't forget I'm staying the night with Willow tonight. She's picking me up after my session," I added.
"Got it. Have fun tonight. You deserve it."
He threw me another wide smile as I stepped out of the car, opening my large bubble umbrella as I did. I returned his smile, feeling a little more like I could conquer my training session, and waved him off before turning to Rhodes. When I did, my feet wouldn't move. Rhodes was staring hard at the Corvette as it pulled out of the lot, his green eyes piercing through the rain like laser beams. I glanced back and saw Dale glaring at Rhodes with the same disapproval. When I turned back towards Rhodes, he shifted his gaze to me in an instant and kept the same dark expression as I moved toward him.
"Who was that?" he snapped.
"My stepdad?" I answered hesitantly. "Why?" He blanched.
"That's Dale Paxton?"
I nodded. Most people in this town knew who Dale was, but hardly any of them knew what he looked like, not unless they were in his circle. Dale liked to keep to a certain type of crowd. Rhodes still hadn't moved.
His eyes were hard for a moment more before he shook his head, kicking off the wall and making his way toward the gym.
Let's head back.
Wait, I said, jogging a little to catch up with him. Why did you ask who that was?
It's nothing. He just looked at you funny. I wasn't sure.
His voice faded to a low murmur and he shook his head again.
Nothing. I was mistaken. How are your muscles today? Are you still sore?
I eyed him cautiously but let him change the subject. I was ready to work too. I feel a lot better, a little sore, but I can move.
Good,
he said, patting the treadmill as we entered the gym.
Hop up and turn the incline to 6, speed to 4.
I groaned, but tossed my bag down in the corner and did as he said. We worked mostly in silence for just over an hour as he moved me around the gym. He had set up an obstacle course similar to the one the week before, complete with ropes and all. When I bent low in my squat to do the snake in the grass move, I shivered at the memory of his arms around my waist when he showed me how to do it before. So, what are you doing tomorrow night? I asked as I lunged across the gym with 2 plated weights in my hands. My leg muscles felt stronger, steadier, far from the shaky mess they were the first time I did a lunge.
We don't train tomorrow, it's your day off,
he replied simply, head down, eyes on the clipboard. I huffed, straining against the pain in my quads. I know that, so what are you doing? Want to come to the fair with me and my friends?
No.
I dropped the plates and put my hands on my hips, turning to face him. Why not?
Pick up the weights, you're not finished,
he answered, standing straighter before dropping the clipboard and crossing his arms over his chest. I mimicked him in the stance and instantly felt tougher. Not until you tell me why you won't come tomorrow night. Since when did I have the courage to ask Rhodes to hang out? He sighed, running a hand through his dampening hair.
Natalie, last night was just me showing you how to cook a decent meal, okay? It was about your training. You're my client. We have a relationship in the gym, but not outside of it.
I swallowed what felt like a wine cork wrapped in sandpaper and uncrossed my arms, picking up the weights again. He was right, of course, and I knew that. Still, he was friendly last night. We had fun. I was kind of hoping it wouldn't just be a one-time thing, which was stupid of me. Because Rhodes was Rhodes and I was me. He would hang out with anyone he wanted to, including the beautiful women he trained that he seemed to find company with often. Why in the world would he want to spend time with me? Okay, sorry. He nodded, his eyes watching me carefully.
3 more sets. Watch your back. You're leaning forward too much.
I muttered under my breath but kept my eyes forward and made my way back across the room, lunging each step. My teeth still worried my bottom lip as I thought over the night before, wondering if I looked too much into it. Was he acting like a friend, or was he really just showing me that healthy eating could work? I didn't recall us really talking much about food other than when we were doing the dishes, but even still, we talked about other things too. Sighing, I shook my head. Whatever. It was fine because he was still my trainer, which was what I needed him to be. He knew how to help me reach my goals, and that was enough for me. Each lunge burned more than the last, and I knew I was about to hit my limit. When I reached the other side and turned around, I hit something with the weight in my left hand. Oh, I turned back to check on whatever I'd hit, thinking I'd be apologizing to some tiny club member in booty shorts and a sports bra. But when I came face to face with Mason, I dropped both weights and stumbled back a bit. One of them fell on my foot, and I howled out in pain as I fell to the ground. Rhodes cursed and rushed towards me, while Mason bent down to my level.
Oh my God, Natalie, are you okay?
He moved to touch my leg, but Rhodes beat him to it, pulling my foot up and tugging my sneaker off to inspect it as he squatted down next to me. His thumb moved across the delicate skin of my ankle, and I hissed at the pain as chills raced up my legs and straight between my thighs. Rhodes followed the chills and lifted his eyes to mine. I blushed and looked away, which left me staring at Mason. He watched Rhodes and made a face before turning to me and asking the same question.
Are you okay? What are you doing here?
Rhodes dropped my foot gently, leaving the sneaker off as he helped me to my feet. Mason stood with us. His eyes never left mine, and I leaned on Rhodes for support, putting weight on my foot as slowly as I could. I was fine, but it smarted. I train here, I swallowed. I wasn't exactly ready for him to know that, but I guess I didn't have a choice.
Oh, he said simply. This time his eyes shifted to Rhodes and then back to me before he spoke again. I didn't realize you were into fitness. I shrugged. It's a new hobby. He nodded. Cool. Well, I don't want to interrupt your session or anything. I was just dropping off a donation bag from my mom for the fundraiser this weekend and saw you through the window. I wanted to say hi. I smiled, though it was strained. Hi. He chuckled, and for a moment his chocolate eyes shined the way that they used to when he looked at me. When I was his. It warmed my stomach and made me want to throw up all at the same time, shooting an all-too-familiar pain straight to my chest. It was nice talking to you last night. I've missed that, our late-night phone calls. He shifted. Is that weird? Every muscle in my body was wound too tight, but I shook my head. No, I get it. He smiled, just a tiny little curl on his lips. Are you going to the fair tomorrow? I glanced at Rhodes then. He was still gripping onto my forearm and steadying me, though I had practically put all of my weight on my foot again. Yeah, Willow is dragging me, I said, still watching Rhodes. When I faced Mason again, his smile was warm. Cool, well, I'll see you tomorrow then. His eyes landed on Rhodes again, and he looked him up and down slowly with a slight snarl in his lip. I waited for him to extend a hand to shake his or at least introduce himself, but he did neither. I wasn't sure how Mason was surviving Rhodes' glare. After a moment, he nodded to me once more, his smile returning before he stepped out of the gym and I was alone with Rhodes again. Thanks, I said, pulling free from his grasp and rolling my ankle around before bending down to tug on my sneaker and retrieve the weights again. I'm good. You want me to do another round? Rhodes was staring at me, his face completely void of emotion. Not about a guy, huh? I swallowed, and suddenly the weights felt too heavy for me to hold. I placed them back on the rack and turned to face Rhodes. He hadn't moved. He's my ex.
Yeah, I caught on to that after you dropped a weight on your foot at the sight of him.
I blushed. I haven't really seen him much since it all happened. I was caught off guard. He crossed his arms.
You told me this wasn't about a guy.
It's not, I tried, and he scoffed, heading toward the back of the room. I followed. It's not, I swear. This is about me. Yeah, at first it was about him, and it still kind of is. But I want this for me, too. He stopped mid-stride and spun to face me. My eyes leveled with his chest, and I had to strain my neck to look up at him.
Do you want him back?
I chewed my bottom lip, unsure of how to answer. Rhodes' eyes fell to where my teeth worked the tender skin, and I watched the muscles in his jaw tense before he found my eyes again.
That's what I thought. This is about him.
It's not just about him. He swallowed but didn't argue. Instead, he sighed, his chest deflating, and stepped back to put distance between us.
It's okay. It actually makes sense now.
What does? He shook his head.
Nothing. I'll help you get your boyfriend back, Natalie.
He pointed to the elliptical.
Finish with the cardio drill we did the other day. The intervals. Do 30 minutes.
He pulled the white towel from his pocket and wiped his forehead before turning away from me. Wait, I tried, but he kept walking. Where are you going?
I have another client to tend to. We're finished with weights today, so just finish with the cardio and you can go. I'll see you Thursday.
He didn't face me again as he said the words. He just threw them over his shoulder and let the door close behind him as he exited the gym. I stood there for a moment staring at the door he'd walked through like it would open again, but it didn't. Sighing, I climbed onto the elliptical and took a long drag from my water bottle before starting the session. Rhodes told me to do 30 minutes, but I did an hour. I texted Willow when I was finished and told her I was going to hit the hot tub, but she could start heading that way. She was just finishing up at her weekly coffee house poetry slam, which was just about a half an hour from the club, so it worked out perfectly. I changed into my one piece quickly and grabbed a towel from the locker room before heading out to the pool. The rain had cleared, but the pavement was still wet as my feet padded across the small garden area to where the pool and hot tub were tucked away. It was a full moon, and the light from it reflected off of the soft blue of the pool water, casting a cool glow over the white folding chairs lined up on either side. I tossed my bag and towel on one near the shallow end of the pool, just as I heard a light laughter. Following the sound, I glanced toward the hot tub on the other end of the pool and sighed when I realized it wasn't vacant. Probably two old, drunk, Poxton Beach Country Club members doing God knows what. So much for steaming out the soreness in my muscles. I grabbed my towel and wrapped it around me again, though my muscles cried in disagreement. There was no way I was going to join whatever party was happening over there, though. I lifted my gym bag strap onto my shoulder, but as I turned to head back inside, I glanced at the hot tub again, and I was met with fierce green eyes. Rhodes was staring at me, brows low, his mouth narrowed into a straight line. An older woman who I didn't recognize was kissing up his neck. She caught his earlobe in her mouth and wrapped her long, manicured nails around his jaw, pulling him into her touch. I swallowed, but I couldn't look away. Rhodes watched me carefully, but his gaze was just as unwavering as mine. When the woman's hand dipped below the waterline, my stomach sank and I felt a wave of something roll over me. Nausea? Jealousy? I wasn't sure, but I'd had enough. Averting my eyes, I tucked my towel around me tighter and skipped going back inside, heading straight for the entrance instead. I thought maybe he would come find me. I thought maybe he would tell me not to worry, she's just a client, blah blah blah. But he never came. Then I realized, why would I think he would? Rhodes didn't owe me anything, least of all an explanation for having a woman's hands in his swim trunks. I was trying to figure out why it bothered me so much, but 15 minutes went by with my head spinning and no answers coming. Willow pulled up in her cherry red Jeep and snapped me out of the spell.
Ow, ow,
she whistled as she came to a stop. I can't believe I get to spend all night with this sexy beast. And I stole some wine from my parents' stash. Oh yeah, tonight will be trouble. She winked and I tossed my bag in the back before plopping down beside her and fastening my seatbelt. When I didn't smile or joke in return, she frowned, but didn't ask me what was wrong. She just threw the car in drive and turned up the volume on the radio. She would ask me for details when we got to her house. I knew that. This was only a temporary relief. And I knew I'd have to tell her what I was feeling. I'd have to tell her what was going on with Mason, with Rhodes. The problem was, I wasn't really sure I knew myself. Chapter 7. The fair that came to Poxton Beach in late May was nothing like the state fair that rolled through South Carolina each October, but it was an event that drew all the locals out in addition to tourists passing through. It was themed around corn, being that it was held right in the middle of harvesting season, and there were food competitors, Future Farmers of America showcases, and rides for a promising night of entertainment. I always got excited for it before, but Willow practically had to drag me from her house this time. I promise we'll have fun, Natalie, she said for the seventh time as we made our way through the dirt lot to the entrance. I was struggling, trying to balance and walk somewhat gracefully in the nude, strappy wedges she'd forced me to wear. Just ignore Mason and Shay. They'll probably be off doing their own thing anyway. Wishful thinking. She glared at me, applying another coat of lip gloss. Fine, I sighed. I'll try, for you and only for you, Lo. I trailed off, watching my feet as we walked. You're right. We don't have much longer together. I want to have a fun summer with you, regardless of them. Especially since you're probably leaving me early, too. Because we all know you're getting into the advanced program. Willow wrapped her petite arms around me and gave me a squeeze. I love you. Don't get sad on me now, though. Tonight's about fun. And that fun starts now. She pulled out a purple, sparkly flask. She winked, took a swig, and passed it to me. Smiling, I accepted her offer and threw back a shot. Last time we were out, I made the mistake of turning down alcohol. This time, I wouldn't be so stupid. I was down for anything to numb up all the feelings bubbling up inside me. I wish you would have let me wear sneakers, I complained. It's a fair. It's mostly dirt and grimy concrete covered in fair food. Why did we have to get so dressed up? Because Mason is going to be here, and if you want to get him back, you need to look drop-dead gorgeous every time he sees you. The more he sees that you're doing fine, the faster he'll realize how badly he messed up. I haven't changed, I pointed out as a driver waved us to pass in front of his car in the gravel parking lot. Not yet. I'm still the same girl he dumped less than 3 weeks ago. Plus, he saw me yesterday when I'm pretty sure I looked like a sweaty walrus. She laughed but stopped me just before the entrance.
You have changed, Natalie. You're already walking with your chin held higher, and believe it or not, I can tell you lost weight, especially in your face. It hasn't even been 2 weeks, Willow. Well, then Rhodes must work magic. I eyed her, and though I tried not to, I blushed. Rhodes definitely had some sort of voodoo juice happening. Besides, from what you told me yesterday, Mason said he missed you.
He said he misses our calls.
Exactly, which reminds me that he called you in the middle of the night before. I don't think getting him back is going to be as hard as you think, especially after he sees you in this dress.
She smiled. I fidgeted, shifting on my feet that were already sore. Every time I heard Mason's name, my stomach fell to my feet. But I couldn't tell if it was for the same reasons as before. I love Mason, Lo. You know that. I know that. But this is about me, too. It's about getting me back, or rather, getting a new me. A me that never existed before. A better me. She smiled at that, linking her arm through mine and leading us through the entrance. Every life-altering change stems from a series of small, seemingly meaningless amendments. She winked as we scanned our tickets and I shook my head. My best friend was a wacko. We passed by Dale and my mom on our way to the spot the group had agreed to meet at. They were judging the cornbread competition, against my mother's will, I'm sure. She hated eating any kind of carb. She preferred to drink them. Willow and I wished them luck and then continued on through the fair, sneaking swigs of the flask she'd packed as we walked. I really did love the vibe of the fair, and with each passing step, I started to relax a little. It might have been the alcohol, or it might have been the bright lights, loud, tacky music, and array of aromas wafting in around us. Aside from the few children crying, everyone was in good spirits at the fair. It was hard not to be. And though my stomach was still in knots over the confusing thoughts whirling around in my head, I did my best to push them all down and focus on having fun. When we met up with the group by the Himalaya, Mason and Shay were already with them. Shay rolled her eyes when she saw me, tossing her long brown hair over her shoulder before whispering something in the ear of a girl I didn't recognize. She had platinum blonde hair and long tan legs like Shay's. They really did look like walking Barbie dolls. Dustin gave me a hug when he saw me, and I squeezed him back, thankful to still have him in my life regardless of what was going on with me and Mason.
"Heard you were training at the club," he said as he pulled back. "That's awesome."
Shay scoffed. "Waste of money, if you ask me. No amount of workouts can make up for eating your weight in fried food and Twinkies." My cheeks flushed and I felt a pain stab at the back of my stomach as Shay and her friend giggled. I looked to Mason, waiting for him to put her in her place, but it was Dustin who shook his head.
"Stop it, Shay. It's not funny."
She shrugged, eyes on her nails like she was filing them with straight laser beams. She was still smiling. "Maybe not to you." I silently thanked Dustin with a soft smile, and he just nodded, frowning in Shay's direction. Willow missed the interaction. She had run off to the restroom nearby, but when she returned, she could sense the tension. Mason seemed a little uncomfortable, but still held his arm tight around Shay as Willow eyed them both before turning to me. "What happened?" I sighed, not wanting to ruin our night within the first 5 minutes. "Nothing. Let's go ride something." "Something or someone?" She waggled her brows and I smacked her arm playfully before we made our way with the rest of the group to a spinning, flipping, high-speed ride that I was absolutely positive couldn't be safe. Willow handed me the flask to finish off when we took our place in line, the purple glitter sticking to my hands a bit as I stole the last drag. I tucked it in my purse just as Mason sidled up to me.
"Hey,"
he said softly, his brown eyes warm in the fair lighting. He looked like he'd been drinking, and without Shay on his arm, he almost looked like the old Mason. Brown hair, mussed and wispy in the wind from the ride, same familiar grin on his face. It made my stomach ache. "Hi." I returned his smile, but I wasn't sure what to feel. He was nice at the club yesterday, but then he just let Shay say what she did without so much as a disapproving glance. I couldn't figure him out.
"You look really pretty tonight. Is that a new dress?"
I tried to fight it, but my cheeks burned and I nodded. It was a new dress, a knee-length cream dress with a pink rose pattern splashed across it. Willow and I had gone shopping at the mall earlier that day, and she had practically flipped when she saw the way it accented my cleavage and made my waist appear smaller than it really was.
My heart hurt when I realized Mason was the only one in my life who would notice something like a new dress. No one else paid that much attention to me.
Well, I like it. He grinned wider, tucking his hands into his front pockets.
So, you're training with Rhodes?
I chewed my lip, debating an answer. I didn't want him finding out about my training, and now that he knew, I still wasn't sure what I wanted to tell him about it. Did he already think I was doing this for him?
I didn't have the opportunity to reply. Shay slid up behind Mason and wrapped her arms around his middle, nudging her way in until his arm was around her shoulder, her sharp hazel eyes on me like I was a bug that needed to be killed.
What are you talking to her about, baby?
She asked the question to him, but her gaze was still fixed on me. Mason smiled down at her and kissed her forehead. A little piece inside me broke in that moment.
Just chatting. You ready? He asked just as the line moved and we had to file into the death contraption.
She giggled and grabbed his hand, leading him forward and casting another frown in my direction. When she looked away, Mason looked back at me, an apology in his eyes.
I just sighed.
Regardless of Shay's attempts to throttle the night with her glares and snide remarks, Willow's promise held true. We did have a good time. We rode ride after ride and took ridiculous pictures with my camera. I even took a few photos of Shay and Mason, though it almost killed me to do so. Maybe Rhodes was right. Maybe I really was too nice. Willow wasn't the only one who brought flasks. Everyone in the group was passing them around all night, and when they ran out, we found a local carny who knew me. He hooked us up with Coca-Cola cups filled with booze, and we were pretty much set after that. No one questioned the red cup, and by 11, most of us were sloshed. I had avoided eating all night, trying to stick to the meal plan Rhodes had prescribed, but the drunchies were catching up to me. When the gang started to head toward the Ferris wheel, I told Willow I had to pee and snuck away into the bathroom to eat the protein bar I'd packed in my purse. It felt a little weird eating in a bathroom stall, but it was better than doing it in front of Shay. I can only imagine the remarks she'd have for me eating a protein bar. When I finished, I let myself break the seal, which always made me feel even more intoxicated when I stood back up again. Thoughts of Rhodes in the hot tub were creeping in as I washed my hands, but I didn't have time to dwell on them, because as I dried my hands on a harsh brown paper towel, the bathroom door opened and Shay stepped in with her friend. My heartbeat accelerated.
"Oh, hey, Natalie,"
she cooed sweetly, but she blocked the exit and I knew that sweetness was laced with venom.
"Fancy meeting you in here."
"I don't want any trouble with you, Shay," I said, tossing the paper towel I'd used into the trash can. "Let's just get back to everyone else and finish out the night. We're both mature enough to do that, right?" Even as the words left my lips, I shook. I wasn't confident in my ability to be mature any more than I was hers. She barked out a harsh laugh that seemed too big for her body.
"Oh, Natalie, sweet, naive Natalie. Don't you get it?"
She paused, her lips pressed together as if I were a poor child on the side of the road and she was offering me a grilled cheese.
"You don't belong here anymore."
Her words slammed into me hard, but I lifted my chin. I was determined to stand tall. She seemed to notice, so she stepped closer to me, her eyes leveling out to mine. They were so menacing for such a tiny thing.
"No one cares about you, Natalie. Can't you see that?"
She pointed to the door. "Everyone in that group uses you because you can get them things. Your stepdad owns a town and you have privilege. You're useful, but no one cares about you. Maybe Willow, for reasons I'll never understand, but no one else. Stephanie doesn't care about you, Dustin doesn't care about you, and Mason doesn't, nor has he ever. They all feel sorry for you, Natalie. You're the fat girl with a lot of money who's good to keep around for resources. That's all you are. That's all you'll ever be to them." My resolve cracked and my shoulders slumped, tears biting at the back of my eyes. I tried blinking them away, but the liquid only pooled between my lids, blurring my vision.
"Aw, look, Tanya, she's crying."
They both snickered and I shoved through them, wiping my face as I did. When I made it outside and the warm, thick air hit my skin, Mason was just a few steps from the bathroom door. Everyone else stood several yards away, laughing and looking at something on Willow's phone, but Mason was too close to pretend he didn't know what had just happened. He'd heard everything. I knew he had, so I waited.
I waited for him to stand up for me, to take my side, to put Shay in her place. But when Shay walked out behind me, still laughing, she slid her hand into his, and he took it. I crumpled as I lifted my eyes from where their hands were clasped to stare at Mason, open-mouthed. He still wore apologies in his eyes, but no words came to support them. It was then that it hit me. He wasn't my Mason anymore. "Who are you?" I asked, voice cracking. I shook my head, tears still streaming down my hot cheeks. Then, before I embarrassed myself further, I broke through my group of friends, or what I had always thought were my friends, and beelined for the parking lot. Willow chased after me.
"Natalie! Natalie, where are you going?"
"I'm leaving, Willow. I can't do this," I called out behind me, eyes forward.
"What? What are you talking about? What happened? I thought we were having fun," she pleaded as she caught up to me.
She wore a confused expression, and it tore me up to think that maybe I'd held her back all these years. She was friends with the loser fat girl.
"You're having fun," I corrected her, spinning to face her and halting in my tracks. "I'm miserable. I have been since we got here. Shay just ripped into me in the bathroom, and I was mad at her at first, but now I almost want to thank her," I admitted, a short laugh escaping my lips. "Because she's right, Willow. I don't belong here. Not in this group. Not at this fair."
I motioned to the rides around us, my arm falling to my side. Pulling my bottom lip between my teeth, I shook my head. "Not in this town."
"Natalie!"
She reached out to touch me, but I shrugged away from her. "I'll call you tomorrow. Please don't follow me." With that, I spun on my heels and walked as fast as I could in the stupid shoes I was wearing away from the group. I wasn't sure if they'd heard what I said to Willow. Part of me hoped not, and part of me didn't care. I tried to hold myself together as I made my way through the crowd, but the farther away I got, the more it seemed like the string tethering me to the ground was shredding into nothing. My breath was labored, tears flooded my eyes and ran down my face, and I felt a pain like nothing I'd ever experienced racking my chest. I was nothing. I didn't belong. I was almost to the exit when I stopped in line at a fried food booth. I knew I shouldn't, but I couldn't stop myself. Food was always my answer. When I hurt, I turned to food. And at that moment, I didn't have the fight to stop myself.
"What would you like, miss?" the man asked me when I reached the front of the line.
He had dark, leather-like skins and lines on his face that told me he had worked his entire life. He eyed me cautiously, and I realized I probably had makeup smeared everywhere. I chewed my lip, something inside me still trying to fight against what I was about to do.
"Miss?"
he asked again. I choked on a sob, feeling myself breaking again, when warm arms wrapped around me. I didn't even know who they belonged to, yet, at the same time, I somehow sensed him. I caved, leaning my weight back into his hard body, letting him hold me steady.
She changed her mind.
I turned to meet Rhodes' intense eyes, and he pulled me into him, his arm tight around my shoulder. Something shifted in that moment, something small, almost too small to acknowledge. It was like the world tilted off its path just a millimeter, but I felt it shake everything inside of me.
"Miss?"
the man asked again. He seemed alarmed by the way Rhodes was staring at me. I can't say he was alone in that sentiment. I shook my head, pulling my gaze from Rhodes to him.
"Sorry, I'm fine. Not as hungry as I thought."
The man appraised us carefully, then shook his head.
"Have a good night, folks."
"Thank you," I said softly as Rhodes tugged me away from the stand and in the opposite direction of the one I'd been walking in. He didn't say anything else, but it was then that I realized he was holding my hand.
"Are you hungry?"
he asked behind him as we walked.
"Be honest."
"Yes." He frowned as he looked back at me again.
"You've been crying."
I swallowed, eyes on my feet, as I forced a weak smile and shrugged. He tightened the grip on my hand.
"Let's go. I'll make you food."
"It's almost midnight."
"So I'll make breakfast."
I almost giggled, but I couldn't find the strength. He was pulling me toward the south exit, the opposite side of where I'd been trying to leave. I prayed we wouldn't run into the group, and thankfully, we didn't. I was far from ready to face them. I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to again. "Why are you even here?" I asked as we walked.
I thought you were busy. He swallowed.
One of my clients wanted to meet here. I was on my way to find her when I saw you.
A strange sickness rolled through me. Why were you meeting a client here? He didn't answer, and visions of him in the hot tub the night before hit me once again. I wanted to ask him more about it, but I didn't have the energy, so I let it go. It wasn't my business anyway, which he had made clear the day before. Just as we reached the gate, a huge confetti cannon let loose announcing the final fireworks show. Small pieces of colorful paper started raining down over us, and I pulled my hand free from Rhodes before retrieving my camera from my purse. He turned and watched me carefully as I adjusted the lens and focus, snapping different shots of the kaleidoscope paper rain.
"What are you doing?" he asked after a moment.
I smiled, finding something beautiful in the chaos. Rhodes didn't share my smile, but he didn't pull me away either. He stood and let me take photos until nearly every scrap of paper had fallen and the last firework exploded in the sky. When I reviewed the pictures on the screen, I shook my head. There are some sights in life, some little moments that never look as pretty in a picture as they do in real life. I couldn't capture depth with my camera, not true depth anyway. Like the depth of the dark night sky that surrounded each rainbow-colored morsel as it fell in the bright firework light. I couldn't record the way it felt when that soft tissue paper hit the skin on my tear-stained cheeks, or the way my chest felt heavy as I snapped each photo knowing he was watching me. It was a breathtaking moment, frozen in time by an unremarkable photograph. But it would live brazen in my memory forever.
Chapter 8. I rode on the back of Rhodes' bike to his house, since Willow drove us to the fair and I didn't have the rover. It was terrifying and exhilarating, and I was already a complete mess, so everything felt intensified as the wind whipped through the hair that hung lower than my helmet. He didn't have an extra one since he wasn't exactly counting on running into me, so I wore his and he went without one, even though I tried to fight him on it. Rhodes seemed completely at ease with my arms wrapped around his middle, but I could feel the chiseled abs I'd yet to see beneath his shirt, and it made it hard to catch a breath. When we reached his apartment and he wheeled the bike inside his foyer, Rhodes flicked on a few lights before dipping into his bedroom. I stood by the kitchen island for a moment, looking around, wondering how I'd found myself back at his place. After a moment, my feet reminded me how much they hated me with a shooting pang, and I slowly eased my way out of the wedges. Wiggling my toes, I groaned with relief as I stripped off each shoe and let them hit the floor. Rhodes appeared again and watched me with a shake of his head as he moved straight into the kitchen and preheated the oven.
"Why the hell did you wear those things to the fair, anyway?"
he scowled, leaning up against the counter and crossing his arms over his chest. He was dressed more casually now than when he picked me up, sporting a heather gray t-shirt with PBHS weightlifting written on the front in dark green, and simple black basketball shorts. He was also wearing a flat-billed hat, which I'd never seen him wear before. It framed his face in a way that somehow made his defined jaw look even stronger, square, symmetrically perfect. When I didn't answer his question, recognition hit his eyes and he nodded.
"Oh, I get it. You wore them for your ex, didn't you?"
I cringed. Willow's idea.
"Mm-hmm,"
he murmured under his breath. He was watching me more carefully than usual that night, questions that he wouldn't say out loud hidden behind his gaze. The silence of his apartment wrapped around us as his eyes drifted down to the hem of my dress and back up to my mouth. I wanted to break the quiet, ask him why he was staring at me like that, but he turned too quickly and began grabbing ingredients from the fridge.
"What's your favorite fair food, bug?"
I scrunched my nose. "I don't know, probably corn dogs? And don't call me bug."
"Why?"
he asked, turning to drop an armful of food and seasonings on the counter in front of me.
"Your friends call you Nat. It's the same thing."
I giggled. "It's far from the same thing."
"It's similar," he argued, pointing the fork he'd just pulled from the drawer at me. "And it made you smile, so you can guarantee I'll be saying it again."
His eyes glistened, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure him out. Last night he was pissed at me and wrapped around an older woman in a hot tub. Not that he couldn't be friendly with me and do the same thing, but still, He was different then, angry, distant. Now he was grinning and making jokes, and cooking for me, again. He said we were just trainer and client, but this was the second time he'd invited me to his place. And he brought me here because I'd been crying, and he wanted to help take my mind off it. That seemed like something a friend would do. I was going to need a chiropractor for the whiplash. Rhodes went to work on whatever he was making, and the minute the herbs hit the air, my mouth started watering. I was still kind of buzzed, which just made me that much hungrier. After he whipped up what looked like little muffins and popped them in the oven, he set the timer for 10 minutes, and we moved to the couch. He sat on one end, and I hugged the arm at the other, like I was too scared to touch him, even though I just had myself wrapped around him on the way over.
"How are your feet?"
He nodded where I was still stretching out my toes. There were red marks from the straps indented along the bridges of both of my feet, the edges of them outlined by dirt. I shrugged. "They've been better, that's for sure."
"Here,"
he said, leaning forward and lifting my right leg into his lap. I instinctively yanked it back. "Ew, absolutely not. You are not touching my feet, especially after I walked around in wedges in the dirt all night." He chuckled, and it revealed a smile I hadn't seen on his face before. It was mischievous, curious, and sexy as hell.
"Relax, Bug. I've dealt with way dirtier things than your feet."
His electric eyes glimmered at that remark, and he held his smirk. Hesitantly, I let him take my leg again. The minute his strong hand started working the balls of my feet, I melted against the back of the couch. "Oh," I groaned, squirming under his touch. He stopped, but just for the tiniest second before continuing his slow assault. I watched his hands carefully, but I felt his eyes on me, not the work he was doing.
"You were drinking tonight."
It wasn't a question, but I felt like I was being reprimanded. "I needed to drink, Rhodes." He paused, switching to my left foot.
"I get that, but alcohol isn't going to help you reach your goal," he said sternly. "I'm not saying you can't ever drink, but it shouldn't be often. And when you do, try drinking low-calorie vodka and water. It doesn't taste as good, but it still works the same, and it won't crush your nutrition for the day."
I nodded. "You got it, boss." He smirked, but the crooked smile fell just as quickly as it had come.
"Why did you need to drink tonight? What happened?"
A pain shot through my stomach, and I pulled my legs into me instinctively. Rhodes didn't try to pull me back. He let me retreat, pulling his right ankle up to rest on his left knee as he waited for me to explain. "Well, my ex's new girlfriend basically told me that I don't belong anymore and that none of my friends even care about me, nor have they ever cared about me. I'm the rich fat girl," I word vomited. Her words, not mine, though I can't really argue her point. Rhodes balled up his fists, but he didn't say anything. He just kept his eyes on mine, waiting. Willow, my best friend, didn't hear her say it, but Mason did, and he didn't do anything about it. My stomach tightened at the admission, and I felt tears sting my eyes again, but I shook them off. So I bailed, and I just wanted to feel okay. I wanted something to make me happy, so I went to get food, like always, even though I knew I'd regret it. And I trailed off. Well, you know the rest. He seemed to chew on what I just told him, his jaw flexing beneath his flawless skin. It was peppered with just the slightest hint of stubble, which worked with the shadow from his hat to frame his jaw in the low light.
"You shouldn't hang out with people who treat you like that, Natalie."
I shrugged, untucking my legs from my arms and pulling them up under me to sit crisscross style instead. "My friends aren't the ones doing it. It's Shay."
"But like you said, Mason didn't stop her. And did anyone else?"
I didn't respond.
"Exactly. Don't let these people make you feel like this, Bug. Not them, not anyone else. I know it seems like what they think about you matters right now, but it doesn't."
He bent down a little lower, trying to get me to look at him.
"Remember what I said in the gym after you reamed me out?"
"Hey, I didn't ream you out. I yelled at you, and you deserved it." He chuckled, the noise low and throaty.
"The point is, I push you because I believe in you. So when they get in your head, just think about that. Maybe it's time to start believing in yourself, too."
I could smell the faint scent of mint on his breath as it hit my skin, sparking a wave of chills. I didn't know what else to say about me, so I turned it around to focus on him. Was that your girlfriend last night? He sighed, leaning back and scrubbing his hands down his face just as the oven timer sounded.
Don't, Natalie.
I frowned as he moved from the couch back into the kitchen. What? I'm not allowed to ask?
Not when you know the answer.
I chewed my cheek, standing and moving to the other side of the kitchen island so I could watch him finish dinner, or breakfast, whatever you considered food after midnight to be. But that's just it, I corrected him. I don't, not really. Rhodes carefully removed the pan from the oven and set it on top of the stove.
She's not my girlfriend, Bug. None of them are. They're my clients.
I shook my head, the word client sending a familiar yet uneasy zing through my chest. What, did they pay extra for the platinum package to get that kind of extra time? I scoffed. Remind me to change my membership before our next training session. Don't want to be missing out on the perks. I cringed a little at my words, shocked that they came from my mouth. Rhodes was plating our food, but my words halted him too, his hands dropping down to grip the handle of the oven hard. I watched as his knuckles turned white and he hung his head, shaking it just slightly. I almost spoke again when he silenced my sass with a loud slam of his hand on the counter. The four shook our plates and he rushed toward me, pinning my hips to the counter with his own before I even comprehended what was happening. He was flush against me and he snaked his hands into my windblown hair like he owned me.
Is this what you want, Natalie?
His tongue licked his bottom lip before he drug his teeth across the tender flesh. I watched fascinated, my breath caught in my throat.
You want me to kiss you in the hot tub? Touch you in the sauna?
His voice was low but gruff, each question laced with lust I'd never experienced before. He flexed his hips forward and I inhaled stiffly.
Fuck you on the treadmill?
I didn't answer. I couldn't breathe, let alone form words. Rhodes stayed there a moment, his body now firmly between my legs, his hands still grasping my neck. He swallowed, his fervent eyes falling to my lips briefly before he released his hold and backed away. I exhaled the moment he did, oxygen finding me in a rush. It felt like my first breath, and my last one, too. What if I did want those things? I murmured, surprising myself more than him, I was sure. It wouldn't matter, would it? I'm not hot enough. I'm not skinny enough. My voice trailed off. I'm not like them.
Why don't you get it?
He growled roughly, reaching into a cabinet above the stove before slamming it closed again. He turned to me then, and his eyes were piercing, like the sharpest blade slicing right through my fragile defense. Suddenly, and for the first time in my life, I felt small.
You're right. You're not like my other clients. Them?
He gestured in the direction of the door, his voice raised.
They don't have goals. They're selfish, greedy, and entitled. They sign up for sessions with me so they have a solid excuse when they want to dip out on their rich-ass husbands to come fuck me.
He slammed his hand against his chest when he referenced himself, and I flinched at his honesty. Rhodes swallowed. He knew he'd struck a nerve, but he kept going.
I'm not a good person, okay? I train and screw around with other people who are just as shitty as I am.
He moved closer, his palms flattening out on the counter in front of me as his eyes leveled with mine.
That's why when you walked into the gym, I couldn't figure out why.
Breath was a fleeting thing. Why? Because I'm the only one who's actually fat? I whispered. I was certainly more overweight than the other women I'd seen him with. I waited for him to scold me or roll his eyes or sigh, but he just watched me. He studied me. And then his eyes softened.
You're not, Natalie. You?
He paused, lifting his hat to run his hands through his hair before pulling it back on again.
You're weightless. The world hasn't touched you yet. You're not heavy with the weight of pain and guilt and selfishness.
He shook his head, biting his lower lip in the same way that made my skin heat just moments before.
You're light. Don't ever lose that. Don't let the world weigh you down like them.
He shifted, looking away.
Like me.
With that, he turned back to the stove and finished plating our dinner, effectively ending our conversation while his words still swirled in my head. We moved back to the couch and again I found myself hugging the arm. I had so many questions. What had weighed him down? Why did he think this was his only path in life? How many women did he sleep with? Did he like it? But he was done talking about it, I knew that, so I changed the subject again. "You made us muffins," I asked when he clicked on the TV.
"They're corndog muffins, 80 calories each."
I smiled at his thoughtfulness and he shrugged, the flickering light of the television dancing across his face.
"You wanted fair food, so I'm giving it to you, just modified."
I just smiled harder, even though I knew I probably looked like an idiot. When I noticed a change in Rhodes' breathing, my smile melted. His eyes flickered to my lips momentarily, but he looked away so fast, I almost questioned if I'd seen it. "Thank you, Rhodes. For tonight. For everything, really." He shifted.
"I didn't do much."
"It's a lot to me." I noticed his Adam's apple bob in his throat, but he just nodded. We watched the sports channel he'd pulled up and ate our midnight snack in quiet. It was mouth-watering and delicious, and I had a hard time not eating 500 calories worth of those low-calorie muffins. I made sure to tell him that at least 8 times before we walked out to his bike. It was almost 2 in the morning, but I felt wide awake. He drove slower on the way to my house than he had earlier on the way to his. The night air was warm, but the wind was cool, and the moon was bright enough to light our way without his headlight. I didn't know what to make of what he'd said earlier or what he'd done for me, so I tried not to dwell on it, but my mind was racing as fast as the bike. My heart was beating fast, my mouth was dry, and I felt myself leaning closer and closer to an edge. I wasn't sure I was prepared to fall over. When we pulled up to my drive, he cut the engine and propped his bike on the stand at the end of the road. My parents didn't expect me until late, still, they certainly didn't expect me to arrive on the back of a motorcycle, so I had him pull over by our brick mailbox. Rhodes pulled my helmet off and chuckled as I tried to tame my hair. When I sighed and gave up, he held his smirk. "Can I ask you something before you go?" He leaned back, half sitting on his bike seat and crossing his arms over my helmet. His eyes took on an entirely new appearance in the light of the moon. They were darker, yet the green still shone through the night.
"You and your questions."
I blushed, but asked anyway. "Your sister..." He stiffened, and I almost didn't ask, but I couldn't hold the words back. "You said she was pretty. Is she... Did they never... What does that mean?" His jaw tensed.
"She's dead."
2 words. He said them so unflinchingly, like they didn't hold the weight that they did. I knew I probably should have said I was sorry for his loss, but Rhodes didn't strike me as someone who would want to hear that. It wasn't personal, it wasn't sincere, it was laced with bullshit that I didn't want to feed him. So I asked another question. "What happened?" I shook my head. "I mean, I know, kind of. I remember when they said she was missing." Rhodes wouldn't look at me. He would look up toward the sky, to the left down the road, down at his sneakers, but never at me.
"She just disappeared. We drove to school together, I saw her at lunch, then again right before weightlifting practice, but she never came home that night."
I gulped. "What about your parents? Did they try looking for her?"
"I don't have parents, Bug. We were in a home."
My heart broke. It was all starting to make sense. "I know she disappeared, but how do you know she's dead? Did they find her?" I felt sick even asking, and I couldn't bring myself to add body to the end of that question.
"They never found her."
He breathed slowly.
"I don't know for sure that she's dead, but I have to believe she is."
"Why?" He shrugged, and his eyes finally met mine again. There was a pain there that was indescribable, a pain I knew I could never fully understand.
"Because it's better than the alternative."
I bit my lips against the tears threatening the back of my eyes. I didn't have the right to cry. "I'm sorry, Rhodes," I whispered.
"Are you finished with your questions?"
he asked, standing. I nodded. Without another word, he packed the helmet I'd worn into his backpack and pulled on his own, mounting the bike and sparking it to life. He peered at me through the lens for a short second before pulling off, leaving a light cloud of smoke as he did. I stood there motionless, scolding myself for asking questions, for effectively ruining the night. He was the only good thing about mine, and I'd just wrecked his. I sighed, dragging my feet inside and up to my room, head not spinning any less than it had been when I woke up that morning. Before I let myself go to bed, I stood in a scorching hot shower. I tried to burn the night from my skin. The words Shay spoke to me, the words Mason didn't say to make it right, the words I wished I could take back that I'd said to Rhodes. I imagined the water washing them from me and pulling them down the drain, along with all of the hurt they'd caused. But when I succumbed to my bed and pulled the covers up high over my head, I still felt them on me. I didn't dream about Rhodes that night. I didn't sleep at all. Chapter 9. My stomach was in knots as I dressed for my training session the next day. I was nervous about facing Rhodes again after what I'd asked about his sister the night before. Would he be angry, hurt, sad? Would he ever want to talk to me again? It didn't help that I could hear Mom and Dale arguing down the hall. I swallowed as Dale's voice rose louder when I packed the last of my gym bag. Zipping it up, I tossed it over my shoulder and hurried out of my room and down the stairs, trying my best not to eavesdrop on what was being said. All I'd picked up was that Dale had been drunk the night before, which wasn't anything new, and Mom was pissed. Again, not anything new. It wasn't that they fought all the time, but Dale did tend to get into trouble when he drank. I wasn't sure what it was, if he embarrassed himself, or Mom, or both, but there always seemed to be a bit of a tiff after he had a night of drinking. I padded down to the kitchen where I figured their voices would be mostly drowned out, pulling up the meal plan Rhodes developed for me. Meal prepping was still far from my favorite pastime, but I was getting better at it. "Want some help with that?" Christina asked, wrapping an apron around her waist as she entered the kitchen. I smiled and nodded, and in her soft, almond-shaped eyes, I could see that she heard them fighting, too. Christina had been cooking for me ever since I could remember. She was from Venezuela, and her family had moved to Paxton Beach when she was a teenager, fleeing the dangerous conditions of her home country. She had two little boys, Junior and Louis, and she treated me like the daughter she never had. I always welcomed her advice, but I loved it even more when she knew I didn't want to talk at all. She and Moses were a lot alike in that respect. We cut and cooked and prepped for the next 30 minutes, not really talking but not feeling uncomfortable in the silence either. That was until it wasn't silent anymore. "I don't care what you call it, Dale. If you don't get it under control, you're going to have to say goodbye to the woman who looked past it for so long." My mom stormed down the stairs, and I stood frozen with two packed Tupperware containers in my hand, waiting to go to the fridge. Christina had already excused herself, leaving me to stare alone. Mom's face was tear-stained, with streaks of mascara marring her cheeks like scars. When she saw me, she sniffed, shook her head, and laughed. "Men," she said, wiping her nose with a balled-up tissue in her hand. "They are just silly sometimes, aren't they?" "Mom." I dropped the containers and moved towards her. I would be late if I didn't leave soon, but I didn't care. They'd fought before, but I'd never seen my mom cry like that. Ever. "What's going on?"
"It's nothing, sweetheart."
"Come on, Mom. It's okay. Talk to me." She sighed, shaking her head again and grabbing the containers I'd abandoned. She carefully placed them in the fridge and then turned to me, propping herself against the counter.
"I'm fine. It'll all be fine."
I just stared at her, trying to decipher if she was lying. She waved me away.
"I promise. We're just having a tiff. He'll realize I'm right and come around. He always does." She smiled. "You heading to see your trainer?"
I nodded, letting her change the subject, and her smile widened. Mom didn't ever really talk to me about her relationship issues, which made sense, being she was my parent. Still, we were also best friends, and I hated not knowing what was making her cry. She lifted from the counter and tucked a fallen strand of my hair behind my ear.
"He's doing a really great job already, Natalie. I can tell."
I shrugged, suddenly feeling odd under her watchful eyes. I was concerned for her fight with Dale, but I still hadn't forgotten her conversation on the phone that I'd overheard. She was finally seeing me turn into the daughter she could be proud of. I just wished it wasn't because I was losing weight.
"Oh," she clapped her hands together. "Let's go shopping after your session. I bet you need new workout clothes. Invite Willow. It'll be fun."
"Mom," I groaned, "I don't want to buy fat clothes."
"Oh, stop," she scolded, clicking her tongue.
You shouldn't be wearing raggy old high school t-shirts to the club, and I could use the girl time. Please. I sighed, not excited about the idea of shopping, but I also knew that retail therapy was her favorite. This was Mom's way of telling me she needed me. Okay, I'll call Willow. I needed to call her anyway. She'd blown my phone up all night